The Bible reading that I'm doing today is from Luke 12, verses 13 through 34. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?' Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everything to everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food, and your body is more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasures for you in heaven, and the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also."
Thank you, Laura. Well, if you're not aware, if you're a visitor or not aware that we're going through the book of Luke, we're almost through our series and looking at the Lord Jesus and how he called his disciples to follow him and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And every one of these that we've looked at are a challenge to us, I'm sure they are to me. How do I measure up in following Jesus? That's what I am, a follower of Jesus, a Christian. And so we're looking at today money and what Jesus had to say about money. Well, this is one of many times that he spoke on money or possessions. In fact, because it's not just money but what money can buy, it really is materialism is the broader topic of what Jesus is addressing here and elsewhere in Luke and the other Gospels. So we're looking at materialism. When we were in Christian work as an evangelist years and years ago, as we were living by faith, so we had no guaranteed income. And there were times when we really were stretched and we had to be very resourceful. But there were times when we shared it with our family, and we did at one occasion, We shared with them, that our two girls, that we were really up against it. We had lots of bills to pay, and we had very little money had come in. And we live by the principle that you pay on time, God will provide in order for you to do that. And our little daughter Kim came in with an envelope shortly afterwards, and written on it was, "To Mummy and Daddy, as from the Lord." And there was $2 in there. Well, it broke our hearts, you know, that she'd given her pocket money. Didn't give much back in those days, but anyway. But given the pocket money back to us because of our difficult financial situation. And we prayed with her, and we actually prayed that God would make it up to her, and you wouldn't know it, but you would. God is wonderful. But our next door neighbour, Mrs. Padden, came across shortly after that, within the week, and our other daughter, Rebecca, had a birthday, and she brought over a present for Rebecca. But because she didn't want to make Kim feel, you know, sad that she hadn't got anything, she gave her $2. And God answered our prayer that she received it back. God was so good. Money. Remember the woman who Jesus saw in the temple and at the treasury, and she was putting in two mites, two little pennies, and all the other wealthy people were putting in lots of money, and Jesus said she's given more than everyone else because she gave all that she had to live on. That in itself should tell us something about the way God values our love for Him and what we do with our money. In the Gospels, 15% of all that Jesus said relates to either money or possessions. Half of the parables relate in some way to money or possessions, and one out of seven verses in the New Testament relate to money or possessions. It's a huge subject. Out of all the references in Luke, because Luke is one gospel author who actually emphasizes this. And out of the many references, I've got three. For instance, in Luke 6, verse 35, "Lend," Jesus said, "expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great." Chapter 14, "None of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." He's not saying that we should live as paupers. He's saying that you give up to God. They belong to Him. They are lent to you, and so you give up your possessions in following Jesus. He is now our master, not our money. And chapter 16, "No slave can serve two masters." You cannot serve God or wealth. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all this and they ridiculed him. So he said to them, "God knows your hearts, and for what is prized among human beings is an abomination in the sight of God." Strong words from Jesus about being lovers of money, which the Pharisees were. They saw it as an evidence of God's blessing, and Jesus spoke so contrary to that. He was so countercultural in his teaching, and we need to check our own hearts and minds. It is such a challenge to us because money so easily can insidiously grab our hearts and draw us away from a love, a complete and total love for God. Whatever people set their hope on becomes what they serve. And so when Jesus said no slave can serve two masters, you either serve God or you serve money or mammon, which is actually the word for wealth or possessions. You can't serve both. You either serve one or the other. And what we set our hope on becomes that which we serve. And we organize our time, we organize our priorities, and we pursue those things that are most important to us. And if God is most important to us, we still need wealth. I mean, we still need money. We can't live without it. will be on the street and homeless. And that's not what God is saying through Jesus here and through what we've read. But material prosperity cannot provide happiness and fulfillment, the type of fulfillment that God has created us to enjoy. Rather, wealth and prosperity tends to create in people anxiety and uncertainty and even fear. No matter who we are, we all have stuff. We have money in the bank and stuff, but we also have a lot of stuff. Marg and I have been here for a couple of years, as you know, and we're here for a 5-year term. So we know that in another three and a half years, we're going to be flying back to Australia. And so we've got our house full of stuff. We've been shopping and people have given us stuff. And now it's got to the point where, because of goodwill, we've got more stuff than we need. And we're now putting stuff in boxes for the garage sale at the end. We'll probably have another one before then. But you know what? That's the way it is. We tend to get stuff and more stuff, and life is about getting stuff. And it's a challenge to us to say, hey, wait a minute. Where are we putting our dollars? Do we really need that stuff? People, back in that time, if they had a dispute, they would go to the rabbi that they respected. And so this man in our story came to Jesus and said, my brother has taken all the inheritance and it's so unfair, it's unjust. Please, can you help me? And Jesus refused to do that. He was not there for that purpose. But he said, he used that opportunity to talk about love of money and covetousness and greed. And he relates it to two kinds of people. In the passage we've read, he deals with, first of all, the wealthy. And then he deals with those who have little. Those who are the haves and those who have the have-nots. For the wealthy, he tells them the parable of the rich fool. And for the have-nots, he tells them about trusting him and not being afraid and not worrying, but rather trusting in a father who cares. So he says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed or covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. My life, the essence of my life, does not consist in things, in stuff, or money that can buy stuff. So, three things about materialism. Materialism is a thing of the heart. And of course, Jesus always taught relating to the heart. The real issue is my love for money. It's not money itself. Do I have things, or do things have me? Beware, he says, of all covetousness. Of course, the last commandment of the Ten Commandments is that you shall not covet anything that is your neighbor's, anything that is not belonging to you. Don't covet. And so that emphasizes here the importance of it. It's something that we can easily fall into, covetousness. But as it says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, it says, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And he includes in that list, just a short list of things that belong to our earthly sinful nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and covetousness. Which is, he said, idolatry. In case you might think it's not important like the other ones, I'm telling you, it's very important. It's actually idolatry. Remember the young man who came to Jesus, wanted to have eternal life, and Jesus said to him, have you kept the commandments? And he said, yes, I do this and that, I've kept all the commandments. He said, well, go and sell everything that you've got and give it to the poor. And the man went away sad. Because Jesus put his finger on the very issue we're talking about here. He had an idol in his life. His money, his possessions were his idol. Because if you love anything more than you love God, and hey, it's not just up here, it's here, and it shows itself in the way we live. If I live my life, and I say I love God with all my heart, but then I don't share my money with those who are in need. And I have a motivation that I will put aside serving God in order to make more money. I will take more time pursuing that pursuit in order, and if it means that I just can't help in the church or do stuff for helping in missions or whatever it might be, then that just goes to the side because that is my passion. See how we can easily fall into this trap of materialism and a love of money and covetousness or greed. It is so serious. Jesus speaks about it in such a heavy way. And so he says it's an abomination. What is prized among human beings, he says, is an abomination in the sight of God. An abomination. We think of the worst sins. You think now, catalog the worst sins that people commit around us. And we're very good at judging that. But God says, the sin of greed or covetousness or love of money is an abomination. It's no wonder Jesus spoke so often about it and so pointedly. It can drive us. There's a Roman proverb which says that money is like seawater. The more you drink, the thirstier you become. It relates to our hearts. And for this man in the parable, he devoted his life to building wealth. That was what life was all about. As you had it read to you, as you saw it there, we find there's no passage in the New Testament with so many I's and my's and me's in there. This is what I will do. I will store a place for my crops. And that's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my grain and my goods and I'll do it for myself, blah, blah, blah. And so his life seemed to be totally consumed with himself, and the man in the parable. But it was his heart. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 2, in the last days people will love only themselves and their money. It's going to be the kind of world that people are living in just in the last days when prior to the return of Christ. Not only is materialism a thing of the heart because it can drive us, but it can also distort our real values. A person's life, Jesus said, does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Life, or what life is all about, is much more than that. And so happiness or lack of happiness is not really tied to wealth or lack of it. I've been in some of the poorest countries in the world. I remember sitting with a family and a few others in India in a very poor place, a very poor area, slum area. They had hardly anything. And they sang a song, "Trust in the Lord and don't despair." Do you remember that song? You don't? Oh. Well, do you want me to sing it too? "Trust in the Lord and don't despair. He is a friend so true to you. No matter what your troubles are, Jesus will see you through." I didn't quite get there, but anyway. And I was almost brought to tears because this family had nothing. And yet they were trusting in the Lord and they were happy and content. And I've seen very wealthy people who are strung out. And we know that even the most wealthy people, very often there's evidence that they're not happy. So it's not the amount of money or wealth that we have that brings contentment. It's the heart. And if love of money or covetousness, the most wealthy people still want to make more. If it's in their hearts. So it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 7 to 9, "We brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that," Paul says. And those who want to get rich, fall into temptation and a trap. And he goes on to say, for the love of money is the root of all evil. In our culture, people's influence, people's recognition out there, and their position in society, their prestige is more tied to wealth than most of us care to admit. The man in the parable, instead of using his wealth for helping those who were in need, he put it was all for himself. And very often in the New Testament, we find that wealth is taught to carries a responsibility to give. Let me give you a couple of examples. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, teach those who are rich in this world. Notice he says in this world. He could have just said rich, but he's qualifying it because you can be rich towards God. But anyway, he says, teach those who are rich in the world and to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. In Ephesians 4, where Paul writes to them and saying, don't let the thief no longer steal, he says, rather let him work with his hands in order that he may be able to give to those in need. So often, if you have wealth, it is in order to help others, God, under God's plan. And thirdly, it can deceive us. He said, I will store grain in my barns, and it's my goods. That's what he said. God said, you fool. It's the only time Jesus said, you fool. It was the only time Jesus ever called anyone a fool. And by the way, the way we use the word fool today is different from then. It was somebody who was unwise, who wasn't thinking it through. It wasn't a nasty word in that sense. It was a person who really hadn't got it. God was the one who filled the barns of this man. He was the one that gave him a bumper crop. God is in sovereign control of that. But also God is the one who determined his lifespan. He said, you fool, this very night, your soul will be demanded. In other words, you have got nothing to say. I am in control of all these things, and yet, what have you done for eternity? He's not being condemned for having the wisdom to build bigger barns. That's not condemned. He's not being condemned because he thought that through, but it's because he was not rich towards God, Jesus said. He was not rich towards God. Wealth isn't evil, and making plans for the future is not sinful. But when you are not rich towards God, when your whole life is centered around making money or doing well, then that's what Jesus is talking about. He banked in the wrong bank, as it were. Patrick Henry, and I've got a quote up there, I have now disposed of all my property. He is from back in the 1790s or something here in USA, a famous man. But he said, I've now disposed of all my property to my family. There is one thing more I wish I could give them, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. If they had that and I had not given them a cent, they would have been rich. And if they had not that and I had given them all the world, they would be poor indeed. He goes on, Jesus says, what does it profit a person if they gain the whole world and lose their soul? Time has gone. I'm going to have to leave it there. I'm not going to go over. I will finish with a... No, I won't. Yes, I will. I'll just with the final verse. Verse 19. I'm probably going to share again next week. I'll continue on this message because there's so much to say. In verse 19 we read, do not treasure yourselves treasures on earth. Do not treasure for yourselves treasures on earth. The way that is written in that translation is so good. Don't treasure treasures on earth. It's where your heart is. We need to go from here thinking, am I in my heart really loving the Lord my God with all my heart? Or have I allowed greed and covetousness and love of money to cloud or even divert where I should be in my relationship with God? May it be a challenge and encouragement to us all.